Thank you so much, Don. BBS Radio made it possible for us to be worldwide live online. I welcome all those who are here with us online through BBS. Thank you for being here. This is a simulcast with a conference call, and we have a bunch of people here on the phone line. Every time you hear a ding, there's somebody else joining in, and I heard somebody else just join in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Uncle Terry from Phoenix.
Uncle Terry, welcome to the call. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here again.
You're welcome.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Who am I talking to?
That was Ron just a second ago. Ron in Mountain Grove.
And I welcome the person who just came in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
I was Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Heis, everybody.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Hi, Don.
Hi, how's it going,
everybody? Hey, Don.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Howdy.
What part of Northern Ohio?
I live right between Cleveland and Akron, like halfway between.
Okay.
You in Ohio?
I originally was from Northwestern Ohio.
Uh-huh.
I'm in Alaska now.
Wow. Even more Northwestern.
Hi, sir. Eagle River says hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Brian from Ventura.
Yes.
Hey, how long have you, is this the first time you're calling in, or have you been with us before?
I've been in before. This is the first time on a Wednesday call. I've been in on the Sunday call a few times, and got the lucky chance to talk to Wynn a couple times on the phone, and that's about it. I'm kind of follow you guys on the transcripts and various different things.
Great, great. Hey, thank you so much for participating with us. Thank you for being here.
Oh, no problem. I'm very happy to be here. I really appreciate what you guys do.
All right, fantastic.
I have a question. Stuart, why aren't you out fishing today?
It is a nice day.
Yes.
It is.
I welcome the person who just joined in. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to. Thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Dean in Oklahoma City.
Hi, Dean. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Howdy. Hi. So, hello, everybody.
Hello, Dean.
Hello.
All right.
Hello, hi. It's the Sedona Jim.
Sedona Jim, you came in through the back door. Welcome to the call.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. I heard more people joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Anthony. Good evening.
Anthony. All. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ives. How are you doing?
Good. You're from Florida, right?
Yes, from Florida.
Fantastic, man. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Always great to have Florida represented. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Name a location.
Hey, it's Wynn in Sedona.
Wynn from Sedona. Are you Mr. Free?
Yeah.
I'm Terry from Sedona.
And Terry from Sedona. And guess who else is here? My Uncle Terry. Your Uncle Terry.
Oh.
Everybody's Uncle Terry is here.
Wonderful.
I Wynn and Terry.
Hi,
and Terry.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi.
All right. I think somebody else joined in still. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Jane from Philadelphia.
Hi, Jane. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Jane, have you been on before?
I call in. I haven't asked any questions.
Okay. Well, you know, Philadelphia is my hometown.
Yes, I'm from the suburbs.
Which part?
Delaware County.
All right. I think I remember you. I said I knew you before, right?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Lonnie in Dallas.
Hi, Lonnie. Welcome to the call.
The last time I was in Philadelphia, it was the 4th of July, and I was on an airplane looking down at fireworks displays.
Neat.
Now, why is that important? Not very, is it?
No, but it sounds pretty neat.
Yeah.
Different perspective.
It was. It was. Okay.
The,
I'm sorry, you're not ready.
They're off. I welcome all those on BBS Radio. We're past hour, so I think it's time to get it going, Win.
All right. Let me see if there's any last-minute questions. No. Okay.
Oops. Wrong button.
Hang on.
The conference has been locked.
Uh-oh. Am I done?
The conference has been unlocked.
That was the wrong button. Right.
Here we go.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Ready for the recording, Win?
Ready.
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 18th, 2014. Win and Terry on planet Earth. And all of you on planet Earth. And we got a few visitors that are not on planet Earth. And we welcome all of them. As long as they're coming in the Christed energy. And for the highest good. And this is our show where we ask questions on behalf of all of you who this is one of those days where I'm spacing out, where we ask questions, where you submit questions. I'm just curious. Let me just see something here. Unmuted.
All callers are unmuted.
George, are you on the line? Hello, George. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right. So let's go right into this. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energies of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Rod. The 18th of June, 2014. And we take a moment and we orient according to the listening audience and their locations. And we take a moment and connect with those who wish to be connected with. We do not come over the telephone lines and we do not come over the radio. It is only the voice you hear there. We come directly into your location. And we are there with you for those that wish connection. And we are delighted to see those on the call. We are delighted to see Uncle Terry and Heis and Dawn and Anthony and everyone, each and every one of you. And those that will be listening in the future on a replay line or looking at a transcript, and we thank each and every volunteer who is helping with the transcription and putting them up, and each and every volunteer who are doing other things and making this possible. And we thank Heis, also, and Wynn, and Terry. And we are here. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. And the first question tonight is from Don Herman. And in Jesus said, or Terry Friedman said through his book, is the phrase put thought through heart. That's the phrase. Put thought through heart. Could sources speak about the role of thinking with the heart versus thinking with the brain? Can the brain actually think? And also, when Terry channels you guys, are you using Terry's brain? Thank you. Don Herman.
Thank you. We are not using Terry's brain. We are coming in to the outer part of Terry and giving concepts. It is like we are a second brain. The mind can lead one astray, so we do not have a lot to do with the mind. Thinking through the heart is very important because the heart is pure. The heart is centered. The heart is connected with the earth, with the lower chakras. It is a median point between the lower and upper chakras. It is a balancing point. It can bring wisdom in. The brain may bring distortion, more distortion that is not connected with the heartfelt energies. It can lead one astray into further distortions. It is very wise to think with the heart. It does not mean allowing yourself to be taken advantage of. Brings wisdom into the actions and thoughts that you run through your life and allows you greater growth and fulfillment. We thank
you,
Uncle Terry, for that. Thank you.
Okay. This is from Dave Feringer in Grove City, Pennsylvania. I recall a conversation I had before I was born, while I was in the womb. I was asked if I wanted to live this life or wait for the next, as this life was going to be hard. I asked if I had anything to contribute, and the answer was yes. So I chose this one. Months ago, our sources answered my question about who I was talking to. They said he was a guide who volunteered to work with me to help prepare my new life. Well, I found out that pre-birth memories are not common, and it's kind of weird. My question is, why do I have the memory. Isn't that a bit of an unfair advantage? Why was it not erased? Isn't that the rule? To the listeners that are curious, I think one of my contributions is writing a rock music to share positive energy. I welcome our sources' comments. Thank you. Dave Ferringer.
Thank you. We are delighted with your comments. When one has pre-birth memories, and even before, this is a sign that you are more aware and that you have eliminated some of the barriers that others still have yet to eliminate. You are on the right track. You are breaking through the veil. And this is but a beginning in breaking through the veil. It is an important breakthrough. Your contributions are a part of what is needed. The world needs your contribution. And when you make it available for those that hear it and get it, it helps them to be more grounded, to be more there. You yourself are more there, which allows you to be more aware.
Thank you. This is a question from myself. We know there's a tendency for people to look like their past lifetimes, and sometimes very closely resemble. And my question is this true for everyone? And that I know there's other influences that affect your DNA, like your parents. Some people look like one of their parents. And then astrology. You know, with astrology, there's certain aspects, and people will say, if you have this aspect, you will look a certain way. And so what is the various variables in concerning one's personal appearance? And we can also include the, not just the face, but the height and the body build. Is that connected also with past lifetimes?
Thank you. A person, and we talk about the soul person who is operating the light body, they have a certain personality that tends to be a similar lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, although they can make loops, a deviation loop where they go into a distortion and move through it and express something different than they have generally been expressing. They generally look more like their parents when they are first born, and then their own DNA memories and influences begin to activate and begin to move them to look more and more like their past track lifetimes individuals looked. We think of examples where an individual may not look like a past life, in that certain things may have happened, like an accident could have defigured the person and set the body into a different mode. This is unusual. However, when one takes into consideration the personality of the person, how they acted in the past life, the jokes they told, their sense of humor, their sense of caring, their preferences, then one begins to see a bigger picture. It is greater than whether the person looks like the other person. They generally do. They generally have similar height, similar body features. The whole personality rounds out the picture and gives you more clues that this is indeed a reincarnation of the other person. Past life memory is another helpful aspect. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Claire in New York City. Now, actually, sounds like the question I just asked, but it's not. Looking like our past life, other influences, parents. Well, that is the question I just asked. Claire's question is, this issue is really important for me. Though I am not in love with the word light worker, every time I imagine ways to come out of the closet as a light worker through writing, web, film, podcast, I think I'm deluded and I have nothing to offer. I feel literally stifled and suffocated by my own low self-worth. Is this how wanderers feel when they are too full of themselves? Is there something I am not seeing about my life? And, you know, I want to make a couple comments on that myself, because I certainly had that experience in this life, and I think I came to terms with it. I hope so. And what I found was that, and I've heard other people say this, energy follows action. Oftentimes you can come out to do something, and you start thinking of yourself in the role of what you're doing. And then your ego comes in because it wants everyone to see you as that role. And particularly if you're trying to make money, it's like you want to make a good impression. And all of those thoughts keep you from being in the moment and being in the present. And they activate sometimes self-worth, because if you don't make a good impression, you must be worthless. And if you make a good impression, you're worthy. But you're still in the field of the opinions of other people. And to me, what I had to learn is to go out and do things and experiment and try this, try that, and then learn what makes a difference to people. Not trying to define in myself, this is how I should do this to make a difference. And because I could miss the boat. It's not easy to figure that out. And the one thing, if you notice with myself, and Terry as well, We're really transparent. We show up and we can talk about anything. And without being self-conscious. And by being that way, you find out that we're like you, because you're that way. And you find, I mean, the parts of us may not be transparent, but within seeing how we are, you can identify with the human aspect of us, as opposed to becoming in on some kind of high self-image, which then starts to look like ego, and that aspect of coming in a human way is a manifestation of encouragement of the law of one, so that we don't have to identify with being special, which we easily could. I mean, considering that we're talking to the Elohim, and we, you know, I'm an author, and you know, I have all these. I mean, it's not that much, you know, in the worldly sense, it's not that much, you know. But nonetheless, for many people, just the fact that you're an author suddenly says, "Let me treat you special," and that as soon as I allow myself to feel special, because someone is treating me special, I feel like I seriously inhibit my ability to make an authentic connection. So, you know what? Do small things. Test yourself. You don't have to call yourself a light worker. You don't have to define yourself as an image. All you have to do is say, I think I have something to offer other people. And I, you know, I'd like to have a group and see what comes through me and see what's valuable. And maybe you guys could give me feedback because I'm learning how to do that. See, that's a very transparent way of learning how to be in the moment with other people. And it takes some courage because you step into the place where you don't know what's going to happen. And then once you can operate from that place, then you can actually do things. You can do things like you can be a chiropractor, you can be a energy worker, you can do all this stuff. But you end up doing it a lot better because you don't identify on an ego level of being that. And that's what I share from my own experience. And I'll turn it over to our sources and let them address the question, the answer, from their perspective. Thank you.
Thank you. There's an energy connected with the feeling of not having suffering. And it has been laid in to one millions of years ago. That may not be real to you, but the feeling of it is real. This energy sometimes is difficult to dismiss. However, recognizing that it is there and letting it just be there, say, oh, there it is again, and just working with it to acknowledge it and then seeing it, the feeling of it dissolving, is one thing. Then when you are ready to write or do a creative thing, tune yourself to set those energies aside for the time that you're going to be writing. Pick short times that will be easy to get through at the start. Set that feeling of not being worthy aside so that during the time that you are writing, it is set to the side. Then just write something. Do not try to be perfect. Put down your thoughts. And then do it maybe for 5 minutes. Put down your thoughts. Then read through and see the nugget within it that you would like to preserve. Or if there is nothing within it in one day, then just leave it be for that day. Then pick another day. And during the daytime, before or after that time, if you think of something creative that you would like in that writing, then you might even jot it down until you get to that 5 minutes. And then set anything aside that might interfere with your writing or your feeling like you can write. And go through and select that nugget that you have selected and put into your writing in that 5 or 10 minutes. Gradually you can make the time longer as you can hold space. The space of being clear. The space as much as you can of not having mind chatter. Just being clear within yourself. And this is very hard to set aside mind chatter. It's very hard to set aside. But these are our suggestions. Don't try to do everything at one time. Sit a little bit at a day. And as Uncle Terry has mentioned, run what it is, the creative thing through your heart, as the unworthiness oftentimes comes from the mind. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from Diane Gartner in Minnesota. A while back, I had to be fingerprinted for state licensing reasons. They fingerprint you in an electronic way via a scanner like a copy machine. My fingerprints were not showing up properly. They told they could not be detected. It took 5 times or more to get an accepted copy. I was told it was rare, but it happens from time to time. My daughter also had issues with this. Same thing while her job tried to fingerprint her. What's the significance of those of us whose fingerprints are more difficult to be detected electronically?
Thank you. You have a very strong field. And if you've seen Carillion photography of energy coming through people's hands, and some people have very strong energies, like a white light moving out of the fingers. This can interfere with their machine and may disrupt the clarity of the fingerprints. Thank you.
Thank you. This is from Edna. I would like to ask the Elohim if a person has control of how long he or she wants to stay in this dimension. If a person decides he has done enough and has accomplished what was needed, could that person just choose to pass to the other side? How does that work?
Thank you. It is normally advantageous for an individual to move naturally through one's life to the end and see it through with the body. When one begins to see that they have some fulfillment and have accomplished the things that they have set out to do, then we see that it may interfere with some of the energies in coordination with the body to attempt to forcefully leave. In many circumstances, when a person has a contract and their contract is for a certain number of years and a certain amount of things to be done, then the body works with that. Before a person passes off, they have a period of time of parts of them moving to the other side. We do not wish to evaluate for you in any means or form or anyone else on this line what they should do, as it is an individual thing. Thank you.
Thank you. It seems to me that when you let people care about you and you become important to them in a real way, it creates a reason to be here. And it seems to me that the ability that we have to allow that to occur increases our motivation for being alive. And the more we don't allow that to occur, the more we start thinking that it's time to leave. And so I guess you have to think, who am I important to? Can I be important to other people in a real way? And when you discover that, you suddenly have a reason to get up every day. And next question, do the Elohim and Ra groups do a lot of interventions without taking credit for it?
That is a question that makes us chuckle. Yes, we do. Many times, it is not known that we have been an influence. We have seen people asking, praying, wishing, wanting for something to come into their life, and we give added impetus. We give an added boost, an added burst of energy to help them, and we do not need recognition or validation for that. It is sufficient for us to see them respond and smile and have more energy and begin to enjoy their life more.
Are you scanning this realm like a scanner, looking for people who are making requests? How does a request that somebody makes come into your awareness?
We do not scan the realm for this. We are open and aware, and we feel their request. We feel their burst of energy. We feel their plea. We feel their desire. It is from them to us direct. It is not scanned. It is like a radio, as a ham radio operator has sent out a signal and another one is looking at his receiver and hears the code and knows someone is is there. It is not scanned, but it affects us directly.
Thank you. And now we have a question from, let me see here, Robert from Glendora. And you know what? I asked a question last week, and it was Robert's question, but I switched names. And so.
Yes, we thought that perhaps there was a switching of the name because it was Robert's question.
Yeah. So Robert asked, was that answer for him, or was it for the person? It was for him.
The answer was for Robert.
Yeah, it was not for the person whose name I said.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. When Jesus came into this realm, was the soul who played the part of Jesus in the physical? Had he ever done that before in other dimensions or in other civilizations? Taken that role?
Thank you. We suggest that we, if possible, direct this question to Uncle Terry, as Uncle Terry has answered that question previously on one of our calls, and perhaps we'd like to reiterate.
Let me see here. I have to unmute Terry.
I just did.
Okay, okay, thank you. Terry, are you there?
Yes. Would you repeat the question, please?
The question was, and you might not know the answer to this, even though they turned it over to you. The question was the soul who played the part of Jesus, had he done this before in previous epochs of the world, the universe's history, on planets, to come in such a manner as Jesus did? Yes.
He came in the role of many famous people who was part of the Bible, the Old Testament, many times. So a lot of the characters of the Old Testament was actually another lifetime of his. But the prime lifetime, when he was the Messiah, that was the first lifetime in this planet that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I would assume that he made that decision before he took his body, yes?
That's correct.
And when he was first born into this realm, do you remember that decision, or did he have to relearn it?
So he knew what his goal was to be. However, there is a matter of memory problems when we're first born, as you mentioned it. So it may have taken him some time, but he knew of his role. However, he did not know his full role in this lifetime that he known for until the very last time. He never knew all the details until the last day. So he had suspicions, but did not know exactly his full role.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we're talking about Jesus, why don't I ask the Elohim, did you play a part with Jesus when he was in the physical?
Thank you. We always play a part with someone such as Jesus. We are there in the background to help and assist in any way that we can to focus the energy to help them with their lifetime as lifetime, such as that, are very important and are role models for so many people. We assist however we can, and we do not take credit. We are simply there.
Thank you. You know what? I think that's all our questions for the moment that people turned in. I guess people are getting all their questions answered. That's exciting. Let me just see if anyone else turned something in the last minute. Now, if you're listening to this call and you've never turned in a question, I always give priority to new people. And this is a rare opportunity, you know, to be able to ask a question, not pay a lot of money. And, you know, one of the things that I asked the Elohim a long time ago, and I asked them, I said, when somebody asks a question, is there a benefit to the answer that goes beyond just the information in the answer? Is there any other benefit? And they said there was. They said, when they answer a question, they have to move into the person's energy field to get the answer to the question and to look at the person. And that when they leave the person's energy field, they leave a track, an energetic track, that if the person looks for it, it can help them connect with the energy of the Elohim, which is probably more important than the answer to their question. But the question causes that to occur. And let me turn it over to them and see if they want to add any other clarification to that.
Thank you. Give us a moment. There is an energy track that a connection that is made, which the individual can pick up at any one time to make it easier to contact the Elohim. It is like a flow of energy that is established both ways, the asking and the answer. And this connection connects them with the higher realms. So often, we see people asking, and they put a cap upon their asking as if they cannot believe that they are really being heard. When the question is answered, and the energy can then break through the cap, it makes it easier for them to connect with the Elohim at a later time. And we think of Robert and your question. This is something that can be built over time and developed over time. So be patient, and we take a moment as the energy moves in. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Charlene in Durbinville, New York. And I recently did a Life Between Life session with Dr. Michael Newton and met six Council of Elders who asked my opinion about my life. filled me with info, like filling a glass of water. And after 10 minutes or so, we concluded our interaction. At that time, I witnessed in my mind's eye the green field of energy. I soon realized that I could raise and lower this energy at will. What exactly is this green field of energy? What is it good for? How can I activate it, and how can I use it? Thank you. Charlene.
Thank you. We again think of Uncle Jerry's question in information in his book about running wisdom through the heart. Green is the color of the heart chakra. It is positioned between the throat chakra, which is blue, and the power chakra, or assimilation chakra, which is yellow. Green is the color of abundance. Green is a mixture of blue and yellow. Blue signifies change. Yellow signifies intellect. And we see that this session has connected you with your heart energy. Thank you. Wynn, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm talking. I was muted. Maybe we'll bring the question part of this to a close. And, Terry, are you there, Terry Friedman?
Yes.
We could try this. We've never done it. You like taking chances, Terry?
No.
No? What are you doing here? Well, here's what I'm going to suggest. You know, that sometimes we end these calls with a planetary prayer. And maybe I could extend to you to lead that, if you would like to. And I trust that whatever comes through your mouth is going to be in good harmony with the universe and spirit.
My best.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your guidance. We ask your protection. We ask you to give us your wisdom for today and through. There are many, many problems seemingly. We see problems in the United States with our rules and regulations. Suddenly, many children have come to the border of the United States, and we truly believe, as you have taught us, that we are our brother's keeper. We will quickly go and help the children and others coming into our country looking for better life and protection in their daily lives. We see in foreign lands there are many problems today. We realize that this there's a reason for all this. One of the reasons is for us to know that as we see the big picture, that we must look within ourselves and decide what is the correct response from us individually. We know that all this is a schoolhouse lesson, and we're given many challenges. We know that your will is that we bless everything and everyone when we're all in this together. We recognize that all these challenges that we see on an everyday basis are for a reason. Part of our healing, part of our education, part of our becoming gods in training, for we indeed are gods in training. We need to be given much more responsibility as time goes on. And as we learn more, and we thank you with much gratitude for this option we have to come to the forefront and do kind things to our friends, neighbors, and our enemies as well. For we're all in this together, and all the things that you show us are nothing more than lessons that we need to take deep within, make our decisions, and act as gods of training, as was guided by our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave an example how to behave in this world of chaos. We thank you for our many opportunities. We bless all mankind. We ask for the healing of everyone we know of, everyone we heard of, all the people of the earth, and healing for ourselves, because that is our real responsibility, to have ourselves be healed and whole and enlightened along the way. In the name of the Father, Mother, God, and Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Teddy.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you. And you know what? On that note, we're going to end this call. And hope you'll join us on Sunday. And that was really beautiful, Terry. I'm going to call on you to do that more often, if you don't mind. And we're going to mute everybody. Conference.
All callers are unmuted.
I will see you all next time.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sunshine.
Good night.
Your conference recording has stopped.
Good night.